Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. Got a big win today, right? Against big win. A team we should beat.
Yeah, we just got to play the Reds all the time.
Yes.
I think that's the key to success.
Yes. Hey, you know, that is such a faint praise thing that other people do to try to like talk your team down. Oh, they beat the Reds. You know what? Yeah, beat the bad teams. Beat them badly, too.
Exactly.
That's a sign that you're better than them. And that's a sign of, like, when you repeatedly win those series, A, you need that to keep your place in the standings, but B, it just shows that you're consistent and you're taking care of business.
Yeah, and it's what the Padres haven't done in the past. They're usually they beat the good teams, and then for whatever reason, teams they should just handle, they struggle with, but.
Yeah, I'm really encouraged by the Padres' start. I mean, I know I'm here, you know, I know I'm here as the Dodgers foil, but I'm really enjoying the vibe that I'm seeing out of them. There's just a lot of good going on with them right now, and it seems like just getting the right adult in the seat there and Bob Melvin is just night and day for them. And I mean, they got reinforcements coming, you know, on the mound. And of course, you know, most exciting player in baseball outside of Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're listening to Carlo Cicchetto from Channel 8 San Diego. Hey, how's it going? but, you know, I was going to ask you about this weekend, you know, that you are a Dodgers fan and we don't need to get into that. You know, you're one of the good ones. You've earned that status with us.
I appreciate that.
Well, yeah. And our tails are between our legs right now, so no reason to poke that bear.
Hey, but I hope I follow the Padres enough, and that you guys hear my commentary on it. That I genuinely want them to, like, I really am actually. No, a fan of what they're doing. I just, when they play the Dodgers, it's little, you know, 8-10-year-old Carlo who's a baseball fan. It's like I can't give it up.
Yeah, but I. Yeah, and we believe you, and we believe that you know that you think that they're in the right direction and all that. Do you think that what you saw this weekend happening at Petco Park, where it's just overrun by Dodgers fans, do you think that that's cool in a way? I mean, do you like that as a person who's a Dodgers fan and also somebody who cares about San Diego?
I fights and pit fans in the field. Yeah. I hate all that stuff. I really do. And it's just I'm a big Rams fan, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you followed the games up there, but like the Niners took over the stadium in you know, at the end of the season when it was like the money was on the line for the division and for the Niners had to win to get in the playoffs. And it was, and in the playoff game, there were more Niners fans at the playoff game and at the last game of the season. There are a lot of reasons for that dynamics wise. I think that, you know, the transplants you have down here are going to pay more to go to the game than the Padres fans sometimes. So the secondary market, it gets blown up and people finally go, hey man, I'm going to make some money. And that's a Southern California thing. And that's a more and more sports thing with, you know, in markets where you have big populations, where a lot of those people have moved in and you have the ability to exchange tickets quickly and ramp the price up, you're just going to see that kind of thing. But it doesn't, no, it's no source of pride because ultimately, you know, I'll be honest, the more Dodgers fans I'm seeing these days, the more I understand why Padres fans hate Dodgers fans.
Well, yeah, you know, I talked to, you know, I'm a parent and I talked to some other Padres fans' parents and we all kind of were like, you know, I got offered tickets to go on like Saturday and I just was like, that's something I'm not going to do with my kid. And there's
right.
And there's like this violent edge. Yeah.
No, that's not fun. And that's not what going to a baseball game is all about.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that part of the dynamic at all. And it gives me no joy to see a bunch of Dodgers fans there. I actually would prefer it be the other way. I live in San Diego. This is my home. I'd rather see the Padres fans represent for the Padres and make that a true thing. Because let's be real, Petco experiences, and anytime somebody moves, we get new people at the station and stuff, and talk about sports stuff. It's like, okay, like when you go to Petco Park, you'll see it's one of the best experiences in baseball. It's a gorgeous facility, gorgeous setting. Being downtown is great. The weather's incredible, being that close to the water. The way they do their concessions is fantastic. The fans are great. And I'd like to see the Padres fans really just own that in those series, to be honest.
There's got to be a way to do it. Like I have a policy as a season ticket holder that I will, you know, I'll sell some games on StubHub if I am, you know, I can't make it, or, but I never will sell Dodger games And if I need to exchange tickets, I usually exchange them for the Dodger games.
Right.
I think there's enough Padres fans. Like, why can't we overwhelm them? And I don't think it's Dodger fans driving down. I really don't. I think most of the Dodger fans are living in San Diego.
You probably get a few, you know, that drive down.
Right, the diehards. But again, not that many. I mean,
I'll tell you, as like I said, as a lifelong Rams fan, there are 18 million people in Los Angeles. You'd think that they'd be able to get enough Rams fans, being, you know, the
right,
NFC totally. Team there, to like blow other people out. But no, it's somebody transplants that they, and some that travel, that it just blows them out. And I, the thing is, if you are a transplant, you're only going to see a few games here. So you will aggressively go to those games and pay higher prices. Exactly. People who can go all season long. So that's the dynamic with a team that close. But you see it also with just big fan base teams, period, right? Like, you know, when big East Coast teams, the Yankees or Boston comes out, it gets overwhelmed too, because we have so many transplants, because everybody wants to move here. Nobody wants to move there. And I do this to my Boston friends all the time. I'm like, you guys moved here. Don't give me none of that Boston stuff. You moved here because it's better.
No, you're not going back.
You're not going back. Embrace.
Yeah. So how are the Dodgers fans feeling about the organization going into the season? I mean, it's another year of Dave Roberts as the manager, and you know, they signed Freeman, and they've put all the money imaginable into the team, and they're competitive every year. I mean, where are you at with it, with like Dave Roberts as the manager?
I have no problem with Roberts. I mean, my problem last year with their approach, I thought, you know, later in the season that, especially that last month, I thought they should have been skipping starts with some of the pitchers and resting, not worrying about getting, you know, winning the division and being home for the one. Just make sure your guys are healthy and not out of gas. And you look what happened. I think that the Giants and them battling it out killed both of them ultimately. The one game playoff, you're good enough. Like, if you're going to lose one game, you don't deserve to play anymore if you're supposed to be that good a team. But I thought they should have rested a little more. That being said, their offseason approach, when you stand back and look what they got going on in the minors, it feels like they pretty much nailed their offseason. I mean, they kind of got staggered. Like, you look at Turner and you're like, not much longer than contracts, not much longer than you look at their, what they have on the field and who can play third. They've got a few guys, but they also got, I forget the guy's name in the minors right now. There's a great third baseman and there's a great outfielder coming up. They've got these just nuclear arms that are starting to blossom, and Bobby Miller and Maddox Bruns, other guys that are probably ready for innings right now, and Pepio. So it's just, and you know, they got a guy who's, you know, a lot of baseball guys think is going to be the number one overall prospect by the end of this year or next year, in Diego Cartaya. So you got, when you look back at what they're doing, big picture, it's hard to pick nits. I mean, the biggest thing is still going, well, do you have that Bauer thing you're dealing with?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that was such a missed call. Wow, big time. Because they don't need it. Like, it doesn't, they didn't need that at all.
It's so complicated. And there's a lot going on there, and none of it's good. And, you know, as an organization though, you brought in a lightning rod.
Yeah.
And, you know, there might be people who don't like your organization just might say you got what you deserve with that. But there's the whole reality that there's no charges filed. He's being exonerated. So it's a weird situation that they're obviously, they and Major League Baseball are doing this every couple of weeks dance of, we're going to extend the administrative leave. I don't know what they end up doing with that, but that was a weird one, because if you take that stuff aside, he didn't seem like the kind of guy that they would normally bring in. Like, Freddie Freeman's the kind of guy they would normally bring in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Never going to say anything. Just kind of does his work, doesn't have to make content constantly, I guess.
The Kenley thing was a bummer, and it was interesting timing and all that. And, you know, it would have been, it's a bummer to see him in another uniform.
Hmm.
Yeah, I guess, you know, how long was he on the Dodgers? He was probably 6 or 7 years. Is that?
Oh, no, it was a decade. No, he was a catcher coming up with Kenley before he went to the mound.
With Kershaw? Or?
Yeah, in the minors.
Yeah.
I said with Kenley. I'm sorry, with Clayton Kershaw. Yeah,
okay, that's what I thought. Yeah.
He was a catcher in the minors with Kershaw. I mean, he's been around.
Yeah.
And all-time saves leader for the club and, you know, found his, you know, got that extra couple of MPH back last year, and his cutter is just oh my gosh, he was just
yeah. He looks good this wicked. Year, at least what I saw yep. so far.
He looks cool. So that's a bummer, and you wonder what happened there. But big picture, it's hard to complain with what they're putting out in the field.
Yeah, and it looks like you know the top of the division again. It's the Dodgers and Giants. I mean those are two. I mean, without hating both of those organizations, they are really well run organizations, and I think that. It's been something that the Padres have had to really, in the last few years, really grapple with and look at it because, I don't know, it seems like now they have somebody in place in Bob Melvin that is going to be the grown-up in the room and not let little fissures between different players or, you know, players in front office get in the way. I mean...
He gets the good out of a roster. He gets the good out of his individuals. He you know, managing baseball is so complicated. It's such a relationship thing. And it's such a big picture, big, you know, you have to have the whole thing in your head, and the analytics helps for that, I'm sure. But the relationships and just developing guys to have purpose and fit their role and fit in with the team every day and be right-sized every day. That's like the biggest challenge. You got to be a great communicator. And Melvin just seems to carry that weight. You know, I don't think that it's not the guys who've been there the last few years with the Padres obviously know more baseball than I'll ever forget and probably incredible guys on staffs and in organizations, but it doesn't mean they're right in major league clubhouses. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just the dynamic. And I think the Padres, again, they're missing Fernando Tatis Jr. in that lineup last night. Everybody's talking about their offense. It's like, yeah. They don't have Fernando Tatis Jr. in the middle of it right now. When he comes back, it changes everything. He just changes games. And, you know, and you get Clevinger back too, and you get that to a team that's – I am fascinated by the dynamic. Like, I don't know about you guys. What do you guys think? Is Machado kind of feeling really comfortable right now and feeling like the man and growing that?
I mean, he is the man. I would say that. I mean, he's just an almost perfect baseball player, in my opinion. But he, it does seem like he does have something lifted off of his shoulders. I don't know if that's, you know, I don't even know if I would call it a shadow of Tatis Jr. since he doesn't play full seasons a lot of times. But
I mean, who's the man on the team?
I mean, apparently Eric Hosmer is. I don't know. He's hitting 390.
380?
He's 390 tonight. He hit a home run.
Is he 500 yet?
Yeah, he's OPS is up there. I forget. He's
isn't
like
he leading
the
league right now. If it were to end, he would have the batting title.
But you know, like the Padres' home run leader is Jerickson Profar. I mean, we are not hitting a lot of home runs, and it's you can feel even you know even though they have a winning record. I guess what are they 12-5 now? Or
they had a great record. This is a great start.
It's good but there is some of these games you definitely feel like there is a missing element to the lineup where they're just going to be slogging these games out until he comes back and Tatis is just maybe has one of the fastest bats in the league besides probably under like Stanton or something like that but I wonder what that
dynamic's going to be like when he gets back. Because that, I mean, that felt like that was part of the issue in that collapse too.
Do you think so? I mean,
it all happened around the move to the outfield, right? Like they tried to mess with something there.
When he's young and he's volatile. Like
he's emotional. Like you can say he's emotional. He's an emotional person. It might not be like crying, but he shows emotion.
Yeah. And baseball's 162 games. And people talk about that. It's like, and that's what I mean about Melvin and managers and communicating, getting guys to fit their role right every day to get that mental approach right. When your best player is their personality is that volatile. And again, young, it's nothing. I mean, when I was a kid, come on, I couldn't handle any of the stuff that's being thrown at him. This is
in your 20s at a Dodger Stadium, getting in fights over
long hair, and I was in mosh pits. Okay, so this isn't. I don't want this to sound like, you know, big criticism. It's just that's part of who he is right now, and he'll keep growing. But that impacts a team, I think, when it's your best player, and when it was that profound, like when he would, you know. Bad at bats, he seemed to take with him into the dugout, and it impacted people. And that needs to not come back with him this season. And if he manages to separate that from the rest of him, if he can find a way just to a little more even keel, you don't want to lose it completely. I love his, I love the, you know, celebrating and things like that. But the negative side of it, you got to temper a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. So you're saying that it's Tatis. It could have been Tatis's volatile, you know, overly emotional play, but not Manny's reaction to it, or Manny's
it's
reaction.
It's the whole dynamic. It's alchemy, right?
Do you think it's like? Do you think it's Manny being thrown off by being like the second banana on a team like that? Is that part of it? Do you think?
I think it was all different dynamics, trying to fit in, a lot of young guys. Not enough, not a true experienced veteran leader because your veterans are guys like, I'm sorry, but like, you know, Myers has been a guy Myers does his best when he's like the fourth banana, right?
He
relaxes. Hosmer, he's not in the leadership. So it's hard when you don't have that and when you have a manager who doesn't have that weight either. Now you have somebody like Melvin, and he's seen that kind of thing coming and he knows how to head it off. And when he heads it off, he knows how to, and he carries the weight that people know he knows how to, so they listen. And I think that will make a world of difference in the clubhouse this year. I think game in, game out strategy in baseball, it's important, yes, but I think a lot of times people get hyper-focused on that and don't focus enough on it's the relationships and getting the guys mentally and emotionally ready to get to the ballpark every day because it's 162 games.
Yeah, and being able to talk to people that make more money than you and make them believe. I mean, I always think about Phil Jackson in basketball. Like, nobody's used the triangle since he stopped using it, but he is one of the most successful coaches ever because he was able to talk to Shaq and Michael Jordan, you know? Yep. I think that's part of it. It's like, I think what happened last year after the trade deadline where – you know, Hosmer, the conventional belief is that Hosmer felt threatened or was upset and Manny took his side. I think that's what people kind of track back the fissures, but it could be a lot more complicated and multifaceted with, you know, Tatis spiraling or not being happy being in the outfield. And then they throw Adam Frazier into it and that screws up everything somehow.
And Tatis coming back this year, if they're doing well,
Yeah,
and him coming back after which motorcycle accident was it where he hurt it? I mean, that whole thing. The guy, you know, the other guys in the room have to be looking at him like, because I don't know about you, but the first couple of press conferences after that, oh boy, that front office, I can't even imagine how pissed they were and how angry they were that they had to go out and talk about this. They invest early in him. It's like, so. Yes, we want to see him back, but you know, that dynamic, like he's got to be right sized when he comes back.
Yeah. Especially if they're in the mix with the division and.
Yeah. Cause I love watching him. And I do, like I said, I love the emotion as far as like pumping guys up and celebrating. There were times where like you could feel the negative energy from failure being carried into the dugout. Literally is what it felt like. And I didn't think that was doing anybody any good.
Yeah. And the guys on this team are going into a series at Petco that's filled with Dodgers fans and he's not there fighting through it with them. And I think that does matter, you know, and it's so baffling to me with him because, you know, you have the incident, we talked about this last week, Travis, but where, you know, he's playing soccer on the field and falling down and stuff, you know, that, you know, I mean, I'm just curious about whether or not anybody can say anything to him in that organization. I mean, he's locked up and he is a you know, international superstar. And it's,
did you guys see the, I think it was HBO Sports thing, about the investments in players and the early money?
Oh, yeah. I didn't. Yeah.
He basically had guys,
yeah,
give him a chunk before he got paid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I heard about that. I didn't see that.
And there are things about that dynamic, about making that decision, and depends on how much, because some of the rumors about how much it was and how much he's paying back was like, did you need all that fast?
Yeah.
I mean,
it just that, I don't know. I think there are things about him that we need to see some growth from him this year, I feel like, as Padres fans. Padres fans and the Padres organization, for what they've invested in him, Padres fans emotionally, how much support they've given him and the organization, they deserve to have a guy who's going to be out there for him.
Yeah, and as fans, we're always thinking about what other fan bases, like your own, might say to us. But, like, you know, it's hard to argue that, you know, if another fan base says to us, like, he's an injury guy, he's a guy who gets hurt all the time. And it's like, I don't know what my argument against that is at this point. And especially when he's not doing it on the field, it's just like, you can't ride motorcycles for the next 15 years, man. Like, that's just
not the way you were anyway. I don't know what he was doing on it, but is he doing nose wheel? I don't know what he's doing.
It's so crazy too, thinking about it, because the Padres are actually a pretty exciting team this year.
Yep.
But I feel like he spoiled us so much with this, like, he was praised for like a new brand of baseball. Almost to where I'm like so conflicted about it now, you know, like I want him to come back. I want that feeling that he brought. Like I would make sure the game's always on at the house. I would make sure I watched every at bat of his.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it's not sustainable, and I don't know. It's a really interesting conflict that I did not foresee coming, you know, a year and a half ago with him.
Like I said, other than Shohei, he's the most exciting player in baseball.
Yeah.
And I can't even think of any. I mean, I guess Juan Soto's that kind of hitter, but there's just something about the dramatic way that Tatis Jr. does it that's just exciting and fun. It's funny because I'm a huge fan of his, and I think I might be a little critical at this point because I'm so bummed with the arc of the last 8 months.
Yes.
I just haven't been, and I just have so high hopes for him. And I want to celebrate when he hits a walk off and he watches it. Good for him. I think that's the kind of thing that's great. I don't have any problem with that stuff. Again, I think it's the negative stuff that I worry about. But we need him out there to actually be able to do that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of the last 8 months, you know, with baseball, what was your feeling throughout that whole slog that was the lockout and the almost labor dispute? I mean, do you think the game has really been damaged by that?
They didn't miss enough to damage it, I don't think. Yeah. I think it was because they didn't hurt people's pocketbooks, except the people in spring training communities, a feel for them. People who counted on that. Those people might take them a while to really forgive them, but big picture, no. And you know, I feel like, I don't know. From what I was watching, it sure felt like the owners really opted into that quickly.
Yeah. They were staring down a pretty bad PR mess that, I don't know. Just the whole thing kind of made me feel like I don't really have any confidence with the people that are in charge of the sport. But when spring rolls around, I just kind of want to watch baseball, and I'll probably just keep doing it for the rest of my life. You know, I don't know.
I'm glad it appears they're starting to treat minor leaguers better.
Yeah,
that's a big deal to me. What do you guys think about the universal DH?
I'm liking it. I'm done. I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it too. I'm just not so happy with who we have filling that spot on the Padres. Like, we did not capitalize it. I miss Franmil more than you know. I miss Renfro more than you know. Like, we had all these guys that just would have mashed in that spot, and now we're like hoping Luke Voit lives up to some Yankee fantasy. You know, it's a weird spot.
Right, you had a couple of thumpers that you could have hit there. Yeah, Franmil's a perfect example. Boy, he would have been fun to have in that spot.
Yes, I still sing "I Will Always Love You" in the back of my head before the games, with like tears streaming down my face in a way. But
I don't understand. You want tears on your face looking at Jock Peterson hitting 440-foot home runs for the Giants. I'm like, oh no.
Cursing on camera
with the
too.
Braves, with the Braves, it was like, fine, go Jock. I'm happy for you. But Giants, I'm like, oh no.
That would be someone that we got. What's his name? Betty. That was an ex-Dodger. I was so much more hoping for Peterson. Peterson would have been fine with me for what else we have going. So yeah. The DH spot is just not working out right now. But I don't mind watching the pitchers bat, I guess. I'm not as much of a purist as I was on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, when they first were starting to talk about introducing that to the National League, my feeling was just as a fan was, well, okay, that'll be good because, you know, if Will Myers is having a dark patch, you know, he could just not play in the field and he could focus on hitting and that would be useful. And if Hosmer's not fielding very well, Jake could get starts at first base and he could still get at bats. So we're not going to have that problem, but I don't know. They're just giving him all the at bats to like Luke Voit. It hasn't worked out so far, but I think it was time. Where are you on it?
I was a purist, but you know, then again, big picture, I'm like, yeah, it's turned in, especially, you know, the last 10 years with baseball, everybody throws 90. It's like pitchers hitting seem to get just worse and worse as a situation. And
they weren't into it. The one thing though, and our pitchers, have we noticed getting injured less? Was that ever a consideration in doing this? Because I feel like pitchers are just, at least maybe just being a Padres fan, all we do is hurt pitchers. That's like our team.
I mean, this year, shortened spring training, who knows, right? But and pitching, you know, pitchers just get hurt. You know, there was, I forget who said it, there was an acronym, used to be a Tance Tapler or something like that. There ain't no such thing as a pitching prospect. You know, it's like, you know, you either make it and do it or you don't, because so many guys get dinged up and just fall to the wayside. I mean, you know, we're waiting to see if Dustin May is going to be Dustin May still. And, you know,
crazy.
Well, as a fan of baseball, Dustin May is just,
he's fun.
That's just amazing.
If he's back to what he was and Bobby Miller continues to be what he looks like, oh boy.
Wow.
I mean, that's, they will. And then I don't know if you've even read about the Maddox Bruns kid, right? They drafted him last year. He's a lefty. He's 19. And the thing was like, mechanics, right? Was he accurate? Could he use his pitches? And like, they've had their hands on him for like 8 months. And if you go back and read, I think it was Keith Law in The Athletic, he's talking about different pitchers. And they're like, no, his stuff's not good for minor league. His stuff's really good for major leagues already. And it's just a matter of just continuing to doing it. So they've got a fleet of those things. That's one thing, my gap in knowledge. You know, I knew CJ Abrams, but what is the Padres farm situation looking like?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore were
pretty much... I was just going to say, by the way, Mackenzie Gore is fun to watch. He looks
he's going to be good.
Put it together, man. Yeah. Like, whatever his last couple of years were, watching him on the mound is fun.
Yes. He looks like a young man now, not a little boy. He, like, came into his body, his face matches everything now, and, yeah, he looked really good on the mound.
For C.J. and Mackenzie, I mean, and you've got guys on that track, too, is that two-year development during the pandemic is just who knows what that's going to mean for some of these careers, but he looks special. I hope it works out. I think he's got all the tools, and he's aggressive. He goes after pitchers, which is great.
Do they have enough in the minors to get another bat? I mean, how do they juice up their lineup?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing that we're all wondering is if the pitching is this good and our starting pitching and the defense looks this good, are they going to have, they're going to go after another bat somewhere? And, you know, there's Hassel. Hassel's probably the biggest name coming up, and there's a few guys, but it's not what it was 3 years ago before they started trading away the prospects, you know. I believe in AJ Preller. That's kind of what he's good at, is, you know, developing these guys and doing something. So yeah, I just hope whoever they bring in as a bat doesn't just blow up the clubhouse again. But we have Bob Melvin, so I don't know if that'll That'll happen. But yeah, the starting pitching that we've had so far has just been really better than I think any of us thought it would be. What about you, Travis? I wasn't seeing this. I didn't think Sean Manaea would be this good starting out.
Yeah, I guess I'm most surprised that that we started off with like no hits for like the first six innings of the season, which was kind of like set it off at, oh my gosh, we're amazing. Our starters have, you know, come up and down, kind of what I expected to happen. But I am concerned much more about our offense than our pitching. I feel like what we have in waiting in the wings pitching wise still with Sunshine and everything, we're going to be fine there. It's again, the DH spot, I think, and an outfielder is where we're, if we're going to contend, they need to figure out that. And I don't think the minors has enough to really make an impact player in a trade, because there's so much money in this. If you look at like what they're spending total, there's so much money in Myers team, and yeah. Hosmer, and Hosmer right now is performing. Let's see how that lasts. But right. Myers is really sinking like a chunk of cash based on his performance that I don't know what they do with that. That's like a dead anchor there.
Yeah, sometimes when I watch Myers, I just wonder, is he going to be in the sport in 2 years? I don't even know what's going to happen with that.
Like when his contract's up, I feel like he's like, I'm done, man. Like this has been fun, but I'm out.
I don't see what he would bring.
Well, that's to his a body roster. Language, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see what he'd bring to a roster. I'm laughing. I don't know if you guys saw, like, I had a Mookie Betts tweet before the series just about his contract. Of course, he had one great game, right? Those are the only two balls he's hit hard all season. Like he's back down. He's at 190. He did an 0 for tonight, and they're going to lose to the D-backs. And, I mean, that's an interesting thing as a Padres fan to look at. I you know, that's a funny one, I would think. Mookie, I mean, he's not a big guy. You know, is he going to keep replicating his power? Or, like, any little injury to that guy, he needs his whole body. I just wonder.
What do you think that the Dodgers might do at the deadline, or, you know, up until that deadline? Is it just maybe load up the bullpen as much as you can, or get
well, the bullpen's
some
pretty
the
evil right now. I mean, yeah. I don't think and the guys that got coming back, we'll see what happens with Trinan and Shoulder. If there's anything real, then yeah, they'll have to do something there, but they've got a fleet of arms. I mean,
yeah, their bullpen looks great.
Bickford, where did Bickford come from?
He's a former first rounder. I mean, he had the arm talent. It's just he's a guy who's been in, you know, he's one of those guys they were able to this point, get straightened out. And we'll see what happens with Haney. Yeah. Is Haney really hurt? I don't know. I mean, I still feel like their offense is a little inconsistent for what it should be. They've got, Bellinger's been kind of feast and famine still.
He just needs to play the Padres every game and he'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. He's been so much better than he was last year, though.
Yeah, but his strikeouts are. I didn't realize he was striking out that much. But he's still hitting.
That swing's just got a lot going on, and it's got holes. if he can't get it right,
yeah. Wow.
But yeah, I mean they have so many resources in the minors and in the bigs. I have no idea where they're going to go with it.
Yeah.
Well, didn't work out last year.
I know.
They look like they. I mean, that's the thing. It's like they can put together their. You know, their seasons in a row and just show where they've been. And they've been the most successful franchise in baseball for the last decade. But, you know, it doesn't mean anything in the playoffs. It's series at a time. And if things aren't right for you, womp, womp.
I mean, where are you? I'll just say it. I don't like Gabe Kapler's personality. I don't like him as he's a good coach, but I mean, the Giants are going to just be annoying all year, right? We can agree. We can find common ground on that. I mean, I don't.
My feelings for the Padres. I live here. It's my home. Yeah. I hate the Giants.
I just like when Gabe Kapler starts talking.
There's nothing correct about it. I mean, as an organization, you know, of course, I'm going to also do the big brother thing. It's like, yeah, sure, take our guys. Yeah, they do know better than anybody you had. So hire our GM, hire Gabe from us. There you go. Yeah, of course you're doing better now.
I just some of Gabe Kapler's press conferences, I'm just like, come on, man. I just I can't stand him. for some reason.
It's working for him though, right?
Oh, he's good too.
It's working for him.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. They're a good organization. They bounced back. They've got talent all over the place. They know how to build a roster. It's going to be a problem for both of us. So
absolutely. One more thing that's I think going to be annoying all year, and I just have to like get it off my chest. So thanks for letting me talk about it a little bit. Is the umpires this year?
Oh, God.
And I love conspiracy theories. I'm not one that like buys into them, but I just love to hear them. You know what I mean? Like they make me happy. And so I've come up with one about the umpires this year.
I see where you're going.
It is so horrible. Like and maybe I'm just more sensitive this year, but like what Angel Hernandez was calling I was watching that game because it was the Sunday night baseball game. Yeah. It was just like, this can't be real. So here's my conspiracy. I think it's a good one. You can riff on it if you want, throw some other things. But Major League Baseball really is ready for a robotic umpire. Technology is there. Yeah. And so to usher it in, I'm not calling under the table bonuses or whatever, but you know, these Angel Hernandez types, they're ready to go. So like, yeah, we'll wear our contacts for this because Major League Baseball knows that they're going to make a ton of money on betting on every pitch. And the only way that works for fairness reasons is if a computer is regulating balls and strikes. Because you can be on your phone on the MLB app.
You're approaching it right, but you're getting to the wrong conclusion.
Wrong motivation.
It's making it bad so that you have Kyle Schwarber blow up and that thing goes viral and everybody's talking about it and talking about baseball. Because of the uncertainty, the bets are, you can't algorithm it. The bets are, oh no, that was a strike, but no, it wasn't. Like the emotional and reactive aspect of it, the human element, I think the human element, I hate when it really makes a difference in a win or loss, but by and large, these things even out, right? Both teams get hurt by it, like in a game, typically. But I think like the robotic aspect, I think kills a lot of sports. I think humans make mistakes is a better part of it. It's just like, if you're a big basketball fan, right? You know, for some people, analytics are maybe hurting the NBA because everybody's playing so similar. It's like everybody's doing corner threes, you know, drive and dish. Like you can't have a triangle offense anymore because of the way everybody else plays, and you're not shooting enough threes, things like that. So it's like you don't want to let it be too gamified, right? Where you really can just algorithm it to that extent.
Yeah,
I mean, and the games I've watched, there's just been such bad calls on balls and strikes. They get it right now on almost every close play at a bag or whatever because the instant replay. But the balls, and I just don't. And what's odd too is sometimes the box is there, and sometimes the box isn't there. And I don't know if it's a broadcast thing, or if the umpires get to say, "I'm requesting you turn off my little frame of reference," or what it is.
One thing I do think though is like with arm angles, it's like, where is the box in the front of the plate? Because the ball ends up in the catcher's mitt, and so that ball could have easily that entered in the strike. That's the one part where it looks like, in all fairness, with the Schwarber one. So if I don't know where the pitcher was on the mound, but it was a lefty, right? And if the lefty was even a couple inches over on the rubber, and it's an angle from there, like it could have been in the zone when it crossed the plate, you know, based on where it hit the glove. I don't know. I'm not, you know, I ain't enough of an expert, but that's the one question I have in this is like, okay, but where was it when it hit the strike zone? Because we look at the box and we see the framing where it hit in the mitt, and then that's in the back of the zone.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why the umpires don't. I mean, they would still need a fourth umpire to officiate home plate. So nobody would lose jobs. And why would you want to even call balls and strikes when you have it on TV showing the audience that you're wrong?
I bet it's a fun part of being an ump. I mean, I bet that's a. I mean, more interest. Being in there, I would assume that that's one of the reasons you got into it.
Well, couldn't they give him just like a little maybe the vibration thing? not a shocker. I wouldn't quite go as far as shocking them, but just to let them know, like, that was off. Correct.
Call the Astros and ask him for the technology.
Yes.
Well, we all know,
the conspiracy trash can technology. Right. We need it.
These machines will be made. They'll be manufactured by Elon Musk.
And yes.
There you go. There you go. Goodness.
Hey, Carlo, thanks for coming on again. It's always great talking to you and kind of hearing from your fan base's side and everything.
We got a Twitter meetup at the park sometime.
We got to do it. Yeah,
I really need to get out there this season.
I heard they're rambunctious this year. I haven't had a chance to make one, but I heard that they're no longer kid friendly. That's what I heard about Twitter meetups. No.
Is it the post pandemic people losing their absolute effing mind?
It must be. That must be what's going on. Is like
there are some people that it's like they've reverted to like caveman.
Yeah, like one beer at the game's fine. Maybe two if you know it's really exciting. You don't need six. Like what's happening, people?
Oh man, I hope it's not that because that's one of the great things about going to a baseball game. As opposed to going to a football game, is like you're supposed to be able to bring families.
I know.
I would never bring a kid to an NFL game. I'm sorry, but baseball still felt like good.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll get it. I want to go to some Saturday. I like the Saturday 5:40 games. That's what I'm shooting for. So
jam
sounds good to me.
Maybe a nice one against the Marlins. I think there's one coming up. Just no fan base to deal with.
That's why you could visit and talk. That's the thing. Yeah. That's a good one for that.
Enjoy baseball the way it's meant to be. Over conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a pastoral game where you can relax and enjoy the company of people while taking in the game.
Yes. Love it.
Well, that is good. Yeah. So thanks for coming on again. Check in with you maybe later on this season. You can follow Carlo at CarloCBS8 and tweet at him during Dodgers games. Be nice. He's one of the good ones.
Yes.
So
appreciate you guys looking out for me. And I say this with all sincerity. I hope the Padres really get it together this season. I want to see them get in the postseason and make some noise. This fan base really deserves it. And I mean that sincerely. They pulled, what was the attendance last year? Even with the pandemic, they still did.
It's one of the highest in the league. Yeah.
People are going to they are getting supported by this community. This community deserves to have some fun with that.
Well, I think, and not to keep this going, but I think I saw something where the Padres so far this year have the most attendance this year.
Let's keep it going.
Out of the Yankee, everybody, number one.
The organization, we haven't even touched on this, so just briefly. Do we feel like the organization is doing what it can to put the best product on the field for fans?
I can't really complain about anything. They're in the luxury tax. I mean,
ownership has done everything, and you can criticize some moves that AJ's made, $20 million that Myers is sitting on right now just looks like, you know.
Yeah.
10 Bitcoin. It just looks so juicy. But other than that,
it's hard to complain, you know?
Yeah. I don't want it to sound like a wine fest. Like they're not doing everything they can. I just mean like the baseball gods need to like smile upon this fan base because it's a great fan base. You know, they give me a hard time on Twitter, but a lot of them know by now, they know my riff by now and we have a back and forth and they're great fans. And they show up and support it. So let's make this happen this year.
Let's do it. I'm in my 40s now, and I'm actually fearful of dying with on my tombstone saying Padres fan that never saw a championship, which I never thought possible. I never dreamed as a kid I'd say that. But
lifelong Rams fan, and yes, sure they won in St. Louis, but it just wasn't the same.
It's not the same.
Seeing them win in LA.
It's just something you can't. It's dreams are made of.
So nice. Right.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we'll
thanks for having
check
me.
You out next time and keep the faith. All right.